Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether that is over the radio, streaming through chapelboro.com, or however else you're listening this afternoon. Glad to have you with us. We have got a big thing coming up at 5:30. That would be the playing of our candidate introductions for those running for mayor in Chapel Hill. That is part of our ongoing local election coverage, as will be the airing of the PTA Council's recent forum with candidates in Chapel Hill races. Be sure to stay tuned for that at 7 o'clock here on 97.9 The Hill. But first up, lots of local news, beginning with this from campus. It is University Day at UNC, which is when they celebrate how it began holding classes and how the university has become a major reason our area has developed into what it has over 226 years. There was a ceremony held in Memorial Hall with university leadership to celebrate that and celebrate UNC's accomplishments. But it does come amid a time of mourning. Classes have been canceled today in the wake of two suicide attempts among the campus community over the weekend. And we're continuing to see reactions from those on campus, things like chalk artwork and displays and notes left around campus and the pit to promote mental health awareness and to offer support. There are also several events planned in the coming days this week in that gathering space and across campus to also offer support and to discuss suicide prevention. A reminder that the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available 24/7 at 1-800-273-8255 if you or a friend, family, loved one are considering suicide. Turning to some news from last night, the Orange County Schools Board of Education held a work session, and this is important because tensions have been rising at board meetings recently since the beginning of the pandemic. Parents and community members have been speaking out against racial equity efforts and COVID-19 health protocols, but now the school board is facing yet another stressor: extremist hate groups. With demonstrations held nearby A.L. Stanbeck Middle School last night, the Orange County School Board passed a resolution to address harm caused to students by hostile and racist behavior from these recent incidents, specifically citing white nationalist displays. 97.9 The Hill's L. Karras has this report on the events that have led to this.
At the Orange County School's in-person board meeting September 13th, a group of parents gathered to protest some of the COVID-related restrictions up for discussion, such as mask wearing and spectator limits for sporting events. However, Chair of the Orange County School's Board of Education, Hillary McKenzie, said parents weren't the only members of the public in attendance.
I'll start by saying that there were lots of parents there who were simply addressing health measures. But in addition to that, there were two men in Proud Boy shirts and hats who were in attendance. One wore a stocking over his face, which completely obscured his entire face for the whole meeting. The other one in Proud Boy gear told our board during public comment that someone should tie rocks around our necks and we should throw ourselves in a river.
The Proud Boys self-identify as a fraternal group spreading an anti-political correctness and anti-white guilt agenda. Designated as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, they are known for anti-Muslim, misogynistic, and white nationalist rhetoric, and maintain affiliations with known extremists. At that scheduled work session, McKenzie said not only were the Proud Boys disruptive, but school resource officers had to take a knife and spear off someone entering the building.
One man carried a sign that read, "The Trail of Tears Ends with the Board of Education," which I took to mean he was comparing genocide to COVID precautions.
That wasn't the only incident in September. On September 24th, the board became aware of an event that was being billed as a tailgate protest at Orange High School in Hillsboro. The protest was a result of the planned school-sanctioned tailgate being canceled for safety reasons.
At that protest, again, there were lots of parents and students who were simply protesting the spectator restrictions and mask limits. But at that protest, there were also 10 Proud Boys in full gear with flags patrolling the right-of-ways outside of campus.
McKenzie said the Proud Boys used a megaphone to shout racist, transphobic, and homophobic slurs, along with other threatening language.
They told counter-protesters at one point to go kill themselves.
Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood said no laws were broken, as the Proud Boys were on DOT right-of-way and not on school property. And while disrespectful, their language didn't go outside the bounds of free speech protected by the First Amendment. McKenzie said the school board will continue to coordinate with the Orange County Sheriff's Office on best measures to keep students and staff safe. The school has since hired off-duty deputies to protect public safety and avoid disruption of its meetings, including at the latest work session held Monday night. While the work session remained open to the public, it was explicitly listed that no protests, demonstrations, or gatherings of any kind will be permitted on the campus of AL Standback Middle, the designated meeting location. A notice from the school board also stated that those in attendance are required to pass through a metal detector prior to entering the building. McKenzie said while she believes in the peaceful protesting of government decisions, she does not support making room for intimidation, threats, or violence.
And I also just really want to encourage community members and elected officials to speak out against extremism. It has never been more important than right now.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
We've got some local government news here. Of course, we're just a few days away from early voting beginning in Orange, Durham, and Chatham counties as we have municipal elections this fall. We here at 97.9 The Hill are covering the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsborough races and are continuing to play candidate introductions for those. As I mentioned, we've got Chapel Hill mayor candidates coming up here shortly. We also, of course, have our local elections coverage page on chapelborough.com where you can listen to that same audio for candidates in those races. And we also just added a post today about the questionnaires those candidates have filled out so far this year. It's got links to many of the organizations and sites collecting answers, trying to inform voters on specific issues. So be sure to check that out to find whatever questionnaires you are specifically interested in. Now, we currently have some town governments set to meet with those current makeups, the Carrboro Town Council meeting tonight, and they've got a virtual agenda at 7 p.m. that will get going. Among the agenda items are discussions on affordable housing, transportation projects, and a unified bike share system. The Chapel Hill Town Council is set to meet tomorrow at the same time, 7 p.m. And as part of that meeting, they'll be reviewing plans for a proposed hotel at 110 West Rosemary Street. Meanwhile, right now, the community's focus is kind of just a block down from that. It's on the east side of Rosemary Street as construction is underway on the 1,100-space parking deck. The office building as part of that redevelopment project is also under review right now, but there's a third element by the same developer, Grub Properties, that is also in the works. They are proposing a new apartment building to be constructed on 101 East Rosemary Street, which is the current site of PNC Bank. They recently bought the land, Grub Properties, and they want to try and build 150 units there. I recently spoke with the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Officer, Dwight Bassett, about the project. And he shared this about what stands out to him for that apartment complex.
The most innovative thing that I think is coming out of that building is they're building zero parking. So they're going to need to come in and participate with our town parking system. And that certainly helps the deck. We're not building an excessive number of new spaces when you look at the combination. So it won't take much before we've maxed out that deck and have to think about how we continue. But it's an exciting, you know, part of what would make downtown thrive is having the office and the residential downtown. And from a parking perspective, it's also important that we create a system that there's shared resources. We haven't had enough combination of office and residences that could switch back and forth. One uses the spaces during the day and one uses the spaces at night. And this will give us that opportunity. So it's a really nice addition to downtown.
Once again, Chapel Hill's Dwight Bassett speaking there. That full conversation from last week can be found in our audio archives of News on the Hill if you want to give it a listen to the full discussion on development in our downtowns. That can be found on our chapelborough.com homepage. And time now for a look at our sports news. We've got one UNC team set to be in action in just a few hours. The UNC men's soccer team facing off against Wofford here in Chapel Hill. The Tar Heels are out of the national polls after falling to Wake Forest over the weekend, and it was their fourth loss of the season. They'll look to get back into the win column against a team that they have beaten every single time they faced in the past. Carolina 4-0 against Wofford, but they haven't faced the Terriers since 2012. Now, after helping Carolina get their first two conference wins of the season over the weekend, UNC volleyball star Mabry Schaffmaster was named the ACC's Freshman of the Week today. In wins over Wake Forest and Virginia Tech, Schaffmaster racked up 24 kills and committed just 4 errors. Her 20 digs and 5 aces against the Hokies were both career highs in those stats as well. Schaffmaster and the Tar Heels will be back on the courts Friday when they travel to face Boston College. Meanwhile, the men's and women's Tar Heel basketball programs just waiting for their seasons to really get started, and there was an event today that kind of marks the unofficial beginning. They were in Charlotte for the ACC tip-off event today and tomorrow. Head coach Hubert Davis, as well as junior Armando Baycott and sophomore Caleb Love represented the men's side today, and tomorrow we will hear from head coach Courtney Banghart, sophomore Deja Kelly, and junior Malu Shatinge from the women's program. And two familiar faces to Carolina basketball fans are set to become television regulars, according to the ACC Network. They announced that Joel Berry and his former UNC teammate KJ Smith will be joining the network as analysts for the upcoming college basketball season. The news was first reported by the NNO in Raleigh, confirmed by UNC Basketball last night. The former Final Four MVP and NCAA champion Berry will be a weekly contributor to the ACC Network's show Nothing But Net, which airs every Sunday during basketball season. Meanwhile, Smith is going to be appearing on the show All ACC, in addition to contributing on social media. So congratulations to both of them. Looking forward to hearing more from them this season. Let's turn to some health news here. With the Delta variant still causing the spread of COVID-19, reports are more and more pregnant women are ending up in the intensive care units of hospitals. Dr. Gita Swami, who is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Duke, said there has been some trepidation reported from expectant mothers on whether the COVID-19 vaccine is safe for them and their babies. However, this hesitancy has led to these increased hospitalizations. Swami said, pregnant women face an increased risk of complications from the coronavirus, especially if they are unvaccinated. Here are some of her comments shared to 97.9 The Hill.
Particularly increased risk of respiratory dysfunction or, you know, difficulty breathing that requires oxygen, requires hospitalization, admission to the intensive care unit because of the high demands for respiratory function. But there has been no concern whatsoever of women who are trying to conceive that the vaccine would have any impact on their ability to conceive. There is no evidence that vaccination causes, say, early pregnancy loss. That data has been documented and cited by the CDC about miscarriage or spontaneous abortion. American College of OBGYN, or ACOG, as well as the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, all recommend that women should get the vaccine as soon as they can, that they should not delay vaccination because of interest in trying to conceive or even fertility-type treatment. What I would tell you is that outside of COVID, most days we don't have pregnant women in the ICU, or if we do, it's maybe one, maybe two, and that's only intermittently, right? And now we're seeing, you know, more than a handful at any given time, and we're seeing more now with the Delta variant than we were seeing at the beginning of the pandemic. So it is a significant concern, and really the only way to prevent that is to prevent infection.
Once again, that is Dr. Gita Swami of Duke University. She's a professor of obstetrics and gynecology, speaking there about the reasons and details on how safe the COVID-19 vaccine is, even for pregnant women.